Let's go to Rick Horrell, our sports business insider, and get his thoughts on anything. Normally, we talk to Rick on Thursdays at 5. He's a busy hobnobber crisscrossing the country on the private jet. We had to move him up to 3 o'clock today. Rick, how are you?
Hey, Rick.
Hey, guys. I agree on all that except the private. The busy guy, the real bright, the celebrity, the... oh, you didn't say any of that.
I was getting to it.
Where are you headed?
Yeah, where are you crisscrossing to now?
The baseball meetings. We're going to get a little bit of golf in before the baseball meetings in Vegas.
Vegas, nice.
So I will report to you on all of the Major League and Minor League happenings in Sin City next week.
Very good. We'll keep an eye and see. Does Bryce Harper get signed next week, or does that drag on a little bit, do you think?
I think it drags on a bit because I think there's still some market testing that has to happen. And, I don't know about the Machado. You know, there are two big guys this year and then everybody else. So, last year it took a long time for anybody. So we'll see when the floodgates start.
What do you think is going to be the big topic of discussion? I know maybe the A's and at Howard Terminal, that stadium, 35,000 seats. We talked about the monorail out, the gondola last week. But do you think any rule changes may come up or pace of play, that kind of thing all over again?
Well, pace of play is always a discussion, and frankly, I'm not sure the pace of play matters if you play an 18-inning game, like, you know, one for the ages. That had nothing to do with length of play. That was an institution. So yeah. I guess maybe you talk about enforcing that clock that nobody cares about. There's a minor league rule that you start runners on second in the extra innings. That's not going to happen. That's just kind of an experiment. And same old topics are going to be talked about, but... You know, clearly the Rays and the A's need to get their stadiums done because until they do, all of these other markets are in a state of flux. You know, does baseball go to Monterrey, Mexico? Does it go to Vancouver? Does it go to Charlotte? Does it go to Vegas? We've already had teams there, so the answer is probably no. Does it go to San Antonio? But you got to resolve these two markets, and I know everybody's trying as hard as they could, but the A's one has been an issue since Bud Selig's commissionership and I guess Tampa as well.
Mm-hmm. Right before you came on, Rick, we were talking about how the Red Sox are going to go to the White House and visit Donald Trump and celebrate their championship. In all of your dealings, have you shook the hand of and met a sitting president or a former president in your lifetime?
Well, I met Trump, but that was at a golf course. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't sitting. He was about 150 yards away, and he hit an 8-iron 150 yards, but he didn't really hit it. He kind of cut it.
Oh.
I got lucky enough to shake the hands of Jimmy Carter when I was doing some congressional stuff years ago. But it's, you know, it is. I heard you guys before you introduced me. It's the office, not the person. Mm-hmm. So if I'm a player and I come from a liberal state like Massachusetts, I'm not sure it's the decision shouldn't be whether I go or don't go and show support or not for this president. It's the tradition of the office, I think.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I just think that the people who didn't go, no matter what team you're talking about, when Obama was president, articles were written much differently than the ones who don't go than when Trump is president. It's a typical hypocrisy double standard. That's what aggravates me.
But. Yeah. Well, we'll see how it all shakes out, but the Red Sox earned special treatment this year, and it would be a shame if the special treatment is diluted by who goes and who doesn't go. Mm-hmm.
Rick Horrell is our sports business insider here with Sheeman and Shepard at 99.3 ESPN. All right, so all the conference championships have been played. I think you had a statement that showed like the attendance was 380,000 for all of them. Mm-hmm. And you think this is a nice, tidy little precursor to advance the cause for an 8-team playoff, correct?
Yes.
Well, yeah, but yeah, right. But it's not that simple, as we know, because it doesn't matter what I think or you think. It's what the contracts say, and there are people, as we know right now, that are studying the economics of 6 teams versus 8 teams. Where do they play? How do they rotate? Do the top 2 teams get byes? Therefore, there's one other game. So how do you put in the economics when the existing contracts get done? Does the non-Power 5 group have an automatic seat at the table? Because, you know, people are saying, well, if you have 6 this year, that's great, but UCF still doesn't get in. Well, you don't make the decision of how many playoff teams based on any year's particular performance. You do it based on what what the overall logistics are going to look like, and is there an excitement about the playoffs? Listen, there were 11 split votes for national championships back in the leather helmet days when mm-hmm. I was born in the mid 50s. Mm-hmm. The AP and UPI, I remember that.
Yep.
Then the Bowl Coalition, then the Bowl, then the BCS, and none of them got it right. At least now we're getting it closer to getting it right.
Yeah, and I just think it's a little easier than they make it out to be. The FCS has, 18 teams in their little playoff thing. And when they start talking about all schoolwork and what's going to go too long, I mean, I laugh at that stuff. I laugh because I look at the FCS and the playoff system there, and I look at college baseball, particularly Division I, you're playing 70 games plus. It absolutely cracks me up when they talk about student-athletes and the time off and the way they have from school. It's a lot of crap. So I think this will get done.
I'm not hearing that argument as much anymore, and I don't think anybody will, because that was an argument to be used about whether there should be a playoff or not, and now there is one. So the extra week, that argument is kind of a weak one. Mm. But when you think about it, look at all the bowls. You got 78 teams this year, and for the first time, you have more teams eligible than bowl slots. That's unusual. Mm. The last few years, you had a couple of 5-7 teams you would poke fun at, and the reason they got in was because their academic progress rate and graduation rate was better than other 5-7 teams. So that tiebreaker was a great tiebreaker idea. The problem is that you don't need to do that anymore, because there were some six win teams this year that are staying home.
Rick, give me your opinion on the value of having a title sponsorship to a bowl. I mean, someday we need the Sheeman and Shepherd.com mm-hmm. bowl or something, or the Bad Boy Moore's Gasparilla bowl or something. How much value is this to have your name of a business you've never heard of? All of a sudden, now they're a title sponsor of a major or semi-major bowl game.
$200,000 to $500,000, maybe a little more a year. Moment in the sun, ESPN ads. The alumni of those schools are riveted to the program for 3 hours. You get your logo on midfield, and then you're back in oblivion. But it still is, for those bowls, the primary exposure for them. And by the way, if they didn't think so, you know, there are only two bowls that don't have any corporate names on it of the 41. Mm. So they must be doing something right. Did you know that the Gasparilla Bowl, remember last year, was in St. Pete, and Bad Boy Mowers moves it to Tampa, and it's not a coincidence, but obviously they're not playing in the Tropicana Field anymore, but that was artificial. So Bad Boy Mowers, you're not going to play on artificial grass. So Raymond James, natural. How about that?
There you go.
Absolutely.
That's pretty good.
NFL back in the mainstream news spotlight. Again, wrong reasons. No, is Roger Goodell in this country? I don't know. You probably have an inside hotline to him, Rick. I don't know, but where in the world is Roger Goodell between Reuben Foster and Kareem Hunt? Bad look once again for the league, and the head $42 million a year man is nowhere to be found the last couple of weeks. I don't know. Is this going to be cost-worthy again for the league?
Well, you know, here's my take on that. The Reuben Foster one I don't like as much because, you know, he's picked up by somebody else, and there is a future for him after what happened with him. The Kareem Hunt, nobody touches him yet. That doesn't mean they won't, but he's too radioactive. And I can't always dump on the NFL for failing to uncover everything when it was done. Just a hotel tape that wasn't revealed at the right time. And you remember, you know, the Chiefs didn't know either at that point. And the dismissal was for lying, not for the incident. I'm sure Kareem Hunt told him the incident wasn't that big a deal till they saw the tape. And then it was all over. But, you know, every employer has a duty to do something. But I'm not sure that we should dump on Roger Goodell for not fully investigating everything until law enforcement officials end up looking at what they're doing. I will say that I'm really kind of happy that we know what the standards are today. We got a long way to go. But after the next round of collective bargaining negotiations, I'll bet you that we're going to have a very specific understanding about what the details and suspensions are, even more than we have today. And I know it mirrors society, but it's all got to stop. And I think at least the big-time suspensions, you're moving in the right direction. All the litigation, Ezekiel Elliott, did he get six or four? It ends up kind of blurring the main message, which is if you if you touch somebody, you should be gone.
But didn't it shock you a little bit the other day with Lisa Salters on ESPN when Hunt, doing that exclusive interview, flat out said Roger Goodell never contacted me? I mean, it's after all his spewing over the last few years about everything, I'm not going to say I'm disappointed. I'm not surprised. I want to know how he's going to fix this. What's his excuse going to be for that? Just for that reason alone, how do you not call him? How do you not contact him?
Yeah. Well, so everybody's surrounded by a battery of attorneys, and I'm not saying that should excuse you never talking to somebody. But at the end of the day, these issues are so fraught with litigation that, you know, I don't think we've seen the last of the investigation here. It may very well be that Roger Goodell ends up having that conversation. It's just a different kind of conversation.
Rick Horrow is with us, our Sports Business Insider. We've been talking a lot about college coaches and NFL coaches, and this is that time of year where the carousel starts on the job seats. Urban Meyer steps down. We're keeping our eye on Jim Harbaugh lately. There's all these rumors and stories between the Browns, the Packers, and the Dolphins about whether they're interested and whether they could lure him from Michigan, his alma mater. You obviously are close to the Dolphins. Ross is a Michigan alum. What do you think? What's your temperature as you take this here regarding maybe they move on from Gase and try to make a big push for Harbaugh to come to Miami?
Well, we've already had a tail-chasing incident for one Harbaugh years ago in San Francisco. And so, Steve Ross is a Michigan guy. Got his man. It was just the Michigan, not the Dolphins. And so there's another Harbaugh around. I'm so frustrated by a team that's 6-6 for the rest of our lives. I think there is a real presumption that the team's got to win 3 out of 4, and I know that's kind of hard because you've got the Patriots coming up and Minnesota, which are tough, but then you got Buffalo and Jacksonville. So, you know, as a regular Dolphin fan, it ain't over, but there is a definite pall on how the Dolphins are being perceived these days. And let's remember, next year the Super Bowl is in Miami, and so if you want to, you want to make absolutely sure if you can put together something where things are looking up and people feel like it's a positive thing. So, this chapter has not played out.
Well, let me ask you, if it was possible, would you want to see Jim Harbaugh come and have, I would assume we would have total autonomy here and be the head coach and the GM. Would you like to see him, would you like to see that scenario happen?
I want Don Shula.
Wow. Oh, he's at one of his steakhouses.
I've seen him. No, I've seen him on the sideline. He is still mentally equipped. He had the reunion. Everybody loves the guy. You know, so what? He doesn't have the offensive line, and Jim Kick is no longer functioning, and Mercury Morris, you know, they're all 80-year-olds. I would take that 80-year-old group any day.
Sounds good. Tiger Woods, his new deal with Discovery and Golf TV, going to be a lot of exclusive content, I guess. I hope it's more than we got Thanksgiving weekend. What's the latest with that?
Yeah, well, so on that one, the issue is really interesting because he's going to be streaming internationally, and part of his issue is, well, you got to make sure that at the end of the day, this is one of those things that is his content and is exclusive. I think what happened is that people understand that there is an opportunity now to do something that is kind of interesting content, especially during Thanksgiving and the streaming, even though Bleacher Report kind of fizzled as far as the technology is concerned. But at the end of the day, we said that this was going to lead to something, and this may be it.
ABC is going to broadcast all 3 days of the NFL draft next season. Fox is not going to do it. They covered the draft this year. The first couple of days, they're not going to do it. But good or bad for the NFL 3 days? I mean, that's a lot. I mean, people love the first day and the first round and all that. But ABC taking a gamble here with all 3 days in the NFL draft. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm not sure you make it interesting content the third day, but you know, that's the tie-in with ESPN and ABC, and at the end of the day, that's the long-term business deal that the NFL can kind of impose. They didn't make them take it, but it's one of those opportunities where you tell a lot of stories, and if it's done the way I think it's going to be done. It's nonstop storytelling and maybe a little less X's and O's.
Rick, final question for me, and I'm asking for Chris. FIFA World Cup is considering going from 4 years to every 2 years. Is that being explored?
I think the latest rumor that I just heard is that the entire FIFA World Cup is being canceled for lack of worldwide interest.
I'm sorry.
Never mind. No, it is because Chris will be mad at me. I understand. Yes. This is for Chris. Thinking about 2 years, thinking about expanding the first round, they've got to get through Qatar first in 2022, and they can't fall apart.
Yeah.
And then after that, you know, sky's the limit. Maybe you do 2 years apart after this current 4-4. Listen, it's the biggest event in the globe for a month. It rivets everybody. So, you know, why not think about whether you can duplicate it every 2 years or not four? Not a bad idea.
And Rick, finally, now you're staying, I forget, are you staying in the same hotel as the meetings, or where are you staying?
Yeah, no, same hotel as the meetings. So what do you want? You want a hat?
No. I know.
They're Mandalay Bay, aren't they?
My understanding is you're going to have the superstar suite. You're going to have the Dustin Hoffman, Rain Man, the big bed by the window up on the stanchion. So that's I picture that being all taken care of for you. You'll have champagne cocktails ready to go and surrounded by shrimp. Right. So is that how you roll?
Yeah, it's how I roll, and of course the mirrors all over the wall,
and the ceiling.
You know, and the fact that you're asking that question, it conjures an image that I really don't appreciate. But that's okay.
I think it's I think it's a good time to wrap up the conversation. Have a safe
flight.
Yeah, I
think we're done here.
Okay, I'll talk to you later, Rick.
Have fun, Rick.
All right, man. We'll see you next week.
All right, that was Rick Horror, our Sports Business Insider.